Senate Bill 5536. I still keep wanting to say House bills, but I'll get past that. I'm going to kind of set the stage for the next hour and a half or so that we're going to be here. We're going to run two work sessions, 5536, 5542, and then a public hearing and two more work sessions on two other bills. These are one's a fee bill, one's storage tank bill, and the other one's pollution control permits on water quality. And these are all supportive bills. The House this morning passed out their version of 5536. I think their House number was at 5027. I think it's 5027. I don't know, too many numbers ahead. Our bill will be separate from theirs from the point of view. They think of 3% across the board cuts. Our bill will not do that, and we will include in our bill the Willamette River cleanup. So that's kind of a broad aspect of what we're going to be doing here today, and LFO will walk us through it. Is it 5135? For the record, it was 5135, not 5027. So that's a sort of a broad outlook of what we're going to do here the next hour, hour and a half. Strangely enough, we cannot run 44 and 45 till 2 o'clock this afternoon due to constitutional difficulty with 40-hour notice. So we'll walk through 5536, 5542 first. And at about 2 o'clock, if everything goes well, we'll open it up for a public hearing work section of the two bills. All right, Paul?
Sure.
So would you please take it from there?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have at your place a packet of information, the first of which would be a memo from Legislative Fiscal Office dated May 27th, with the subject being Senate Bill 5536, Department of Environmental Quality, Work Session Recommendations. Behind that memo, there is a copy of the performance measurement form, legislatively adopted performance measures for 0507, and then the Senate budget version of the work session action report on the Department of Environmental Quality. I'd like to first go through the performance measures. The performance measures that are before the subcommittee are very similar to what we're presented by the departments during the public hearings on the Department of Environmental Quality budget. There are a couple of deleted measures. The first one is measure number one, dealing with performance and customer satisfaction. This is being deleted because of the inclusion of the standardized customer service measures that you'll find on the back of the sheet, number 17 and number 18. Those are the two new customer service measures, so measure number one was not needed anymore. Measurement number four is being modified at the suggestion of the subcommittee to include the target number of days, which are 270 days. So that's a small wording change from what was brought forward by the department. And again, this reflects a change requested by the subcommittee. On the second side of the page, you'll see one other modification. This is to measurement number eight, and that is changing the word to percentage of total permits that are current. This was a modification requested by the department just so that the data trends in the correct manner. Instead of dealing in a negative number, it's dealing in a positive number. And then finally, the last two changes are measure number 15, dealing with the economic revitalization team. This measure the department had requested to be dropped because of concerns that it didn't really get at what the ERT does. And we're recommending adding another measure, a placeholder measure, which is measure 16. And this would be to hold the place for a new measure for agencies participating in economic revitalization team projects with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to approve that measure or measures by August 1 of 2006. A similar placeholder measure was put in the Department of Land Conservation and Development performance measures, and you'll see in this subcommittee, there might be another agency that will get a similar type of placeholder, but all the agencies dealing with economic revitalization team activities will be having a similar placeholder. The expectation is that the departments involved in this work, along with the Economic Revitalization Team folks will work on developing this measure and bringing it to JLAT. And I've already discussed the additional customer service measures, number 17 and number 18.
Thank you, Paul. We looked at these pretty carefully in phase two, if my memory is correct. I think you pretty well summarized them. I should have mentioned that Senator Nelson is absent today and he's not in the building. He cleared that with us previously, so we be the committee. But we have a quorum of two here, which, strange enough, means it's difficult for you and I to speak to each other outside
this
room.
Yeah, we don't like talking to you anyway.
When two of us are together, it's almost a quorum, but we're getting some discussion of that by LC, and I think we might be able to do that, but... It's questionable. So for right now, we're not meeting outside this room. Paul, thanks for the summary. Sarah, do you have any questions about this at all?
I don't have any questions about these, although can I just raise a question related to performance measures? Is there anything in performance measures, I guess I'm just asking the staff this, that has to do with the whole issue of... affirmative action and, you know, all that broad base of issues called, you know, workplace harassment. Has there ever been anything in performance measures related to that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, there hasn't been in a general way or in a, let's say, a uniform way some measures addressing that. Having said that, there is an effort underway with the Department of Administrative Services to identify some sets of common administrative function type measures. And those might not necessarily be reported externally in a similar form, but with the expectation being that there would be a set of measures dealing with kind of administrative functions that all agencies would track and report on, at least to Department of Administrative Services, and I'm sure we'd see a copy of that. And that seems like a logical kind of place to include the thinking on, as you said, workplace issues.
It's commonly a question that gets asked as we go through the various budgets, so it's a good point. I suppose if you really wanted to include something of that nature, we would be looking at something like we do here with 17 and 18, which is an overhaul of almost every single budget in natural resources, asking these same two questions. I would imagine the way to deal with it would be to put something in there of that nature, too. I don't think it's something we're going to be doing this session, but we could look at it in future sessions.
I think it needs to be mentioned. As I understand it, you know, I don't want to pick on, and I'm certainly not picking on DEQ. They just happen to be here. And this morning, I came across an interesting tidbit of information, Mr. Chair, and that is that those kinds of incidents related to workplace harassment, affirmative action, and so on, have gone up 22% in the last biennium. And that's not a good sign.
Well, if it's gone up because people are reporting something that's been going on for a long time, it is a good sign. But if it's gone up because there's more of a problem, it's obviously a bad sign.
Yeah. I think, and I don't know the history of this, but I think somewhere in our recent past there was actually an executive order that addressed that, and I don't know if anybody here knows anything about it. I'm not very familiar with it. All I'm saying is, in an age of budgets, when things go wrong, if you end up with somebody suing somebody, that costs the state money. And we ought to be careful about that.
It's also wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. I don't know if anybody knows anything more than I know, but it's something we ought to take into account.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I would note that every budget binder that you have has a section, special report section in it, that has an affirmative action report that they have to report some metrics on. So you'll find that in every budget you look at. So there is something on affirmative action that has been included, but as far as workplace harassment, I'm not sure that that has been addressed in a similar manner.
Mm. Yeah, certainly has been a performance measure.
It was startling to me to catch that little tidbit today.
It's a surprising number. We'll have to look at it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hearing any other discussion?
No, I appreciate these.
Hearing none, I entertain a motion to accept these performance measures. So moved. Next, Paul.
Mr. Chair, again referring to the memo, I move on to the adjustments to the governor's recommended budget, and that is the work session action report that you should have at your place with the title Senate Budget Version at the top. The first few pages are really just summary information, and I'm going to go program by program. So I'd have you turn to page 5, which is the first page for the air quality program. And, Mr. Chair, if you'd like me to just move through each of the packages for each program and then have a motion, or you want to just wait till we get through the whole thing?
I would go through the whole thing, but open it up for discussion as we go along. Senator Shields has any questions as we go along, it'd be fine. Frankly, I've looked at this a lot and looked at and did the work with the committee earlier, so I don't have a lot of questions, but if they didn't pop up, we'll just take them as we go.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll take all the packages at once, like air quality and water quality.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. I'll just walk through each of these packages and give you a brief description. Package 070 is a revenue shortfall package. Anytime revenue is projected to be insufficient to cover expenditures, agencies are required to put a 070 package in their budget that reduces the expenditures to line it up with revenue. And that is the case even if there is a later package that anticipates a fee increase. So in some cases, you'll see an 070 package that reduces, and then another package, a policy option package, that adds money back, in essence kind of balancing the budget. In this case, there is not a lot of revenue added back in the air quality program because of some significant revenue shortfalls in a couple of the air quality programs. The department has reduced positions. They knew that this was going to be happening this next biennium and made a decision not to seek a fee increase this biennium, but it is likely that they will be working with stakeholders to look at fee increases in the air quality program for the 07-09 biennium. Package 090 is analyst adjustment package. This package makes a number of reductions in the air quality program, largely general fund reductions, and I can briefly describe those. It's eliminating the cumulative effect of these reductions eliminates 4 positions and 5.13 FTE. It reduces support for community outreach on air toxics reduction. Particular matter, 10 sampling in Medford and Klamath Falls, air quality monitoring, planning, emissions inventories for Salem ozone clean air plans, rules coordination, grant writing, and clerical support. It also reduces state support for the Lane Regional Air Pollution Authority in proportion to the general fund reductions in the other air quality programs, and makes the smart buy reductions, as you've probably heard a number of times already. LFO is not recommending any changes to package 090, so that the general fund reduction that is included in the governor's recommended budget is roughly $1 million. Package 113, continued staff of vehicle inspection program. The vehicle inspection program tests automobile emissions in Portland and Medford. The program was given a number of limited duration positions a few biennia ago, and this package continues some of those positions. Every biennia, positions are anticipated to be phased out for 0507. This would continue 47 positions, and you'll see that there's 36 FTE. That's because some of these positions will not last the full biennia. The department is anticipating that it will only request 25 of these 47 positions for 07-09. And LFO is recommending approval of the package with a couple of modifications. One for the PERS adjustments to reflect the lower public employee retirement system rates. And the other is some issue that was discussed in subcommittee by the department, and that is the need for some one-time limitation. In this case, a total of $1,633,000 of one-time limitation to replace outdated emission testing equipment. The department thought some of that work would get done this biennium, but because of delays in issuing the request for proposal, they are asking for limitation to be included in the 05-07 biennium, and also a limitation to implement two pilot projects that I believe there was quite a bit of discussion in subcommittee about, some self-testing and a program where there would be an onboard diagnostic device that would record your emissions as you drive along. And those are the LFO recommended adjustments. So LFO is recommending approval of the package with those adjustments. Package 171, the laboratory rent increase for the air quality program, is a package to reflect the increased rent costs for moving the department's laboratory into a new laboratory building. During the 2003 session, the legislature approved the purchase and retrofitting of an existing building to work as the new environmental laboratory and also the DHS Public Health Laboratory. Currently, both labs are co-located on the campus of Portland State University. The building is old and inadequate, and they're moving into a new building. What you see here is the cost for 6 months of that increased rental cost, because their department's planning on moving in December.
Mayor Shields?
Yeah, I have actually toured the old buildings, but were ridiculous. I mean, there was a great need there. Is this actually an increase in rent, or is this an increase in because of the cost of moving, or there's more space? I mean, it's still a good bargain. I mean, just a little more detail.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, it's a kind of a combination of all of those things, frankly. They had the department had a very good agreement with Portland State University on the rent. This is the reflecting the actual cost of servicing the certificates of participation for their term for purchasing and retrofitting the building. So the Department of Administrative Services owns the building,
right.
But unlike most state-owned buildings where agencies get charged a uniform rent rate, because of the uniqueness of this building, DAS has set it up so that it will charge the rent necessary to service the certificates of participation.
Okay.
And that's kind of how that, okay, that gets set up. Just for your information, this will be an issue for 07-09 when the department has 24 months of increased rent instead of just six. That they will have to be dealing with. I would also note that you'll see this is for air quality. You're going to see the similar package in water quality and land quality as well.
I would assume that they're going to be able to do a lot more stuff in a new building with better equipment and more space and so on and so forth.
And it might be environmentally safer.
We better not
to work there. How long are the cops for?
Mr. Chair, I am not sure. They're usually 30 years. Sometimes they're 25 years. I don't have that off the top of my head.
So the cops are short.
It could be 20 years. But I don't have that information. I can get that for you, though.
Nobody knows. I'm just curious. Could someone from the department step up and identify themselves?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Stephanie Halleck, the director of DEQ, and I don't know the answer to your question, but I'll find out.
Thank you, sir. Getting a hard time recording shaking hands. We don't need to know right
now.
We can do it later. It's something we should have done in phase two, but we're not going to change anything, so move forward.
Mr. Chair, package 801 is the standard package that LFO is using to make the technical adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and Attorney General rates, and those are the reductions you see in that package. Package 803 is a vacancy savings package. This package would eliminate one vacant position that was identified in the department's list of vacant positions. That's a fraction of an FTE that the department no longer needs. And package 811 is a reduction option package. This would eliminate an air toxics monitoring station in Portland. There are currently three such monitoring stations. This would reduce the number to two and would reduce general fund expenditures by $200,285. And those are the recommendations for adjustments in the air quality program.
The quality of the water quality?
The water quality program, Mr. Chair, again, package 070 is a revenue shortfall package. Some of this reduction is restored in the package 120, restore and enhance wastewater, the wastewater program. Package 090 is an analyst adjustment package. This package would continue a fund shift of the total maximum daily load expenditures from general fund to Measure 66 operations lottery funds. And it would also fund shift of the Oregon Plan Monitoring Program or the biomonitoring program the Department's Water Quality has from general fund to Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery federal funds that are spent as other funds. And just to mention a little bit more about that, as you may know, that there is a likelihood of increased reporting requirements on these dollars. The budget report will reflect that the department is to work with the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to ensure that all reporting requirements are met and to analyze the need for any additional resources necessary to meet these reporting requirements and to approach the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board for additional fundings if such are identified as needed to meet the reporting requirements.
Paul, this also, I assume, falls under the work group we put together last week and falls under the recommendations. This is a conservative movement of funds as far as Pacific Coast recovery funds, and one we think the government, federal government, will accept.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. The federal government had some issues with the way the governor had proposed using some of these federal dollars in a number of agency, state agency budgets. We believe that we've put together a package of recommendations to address all those concerns and then some, and to identify some resources to accelerate recovery planning so that those recovery plans are completed in an expedited manner. And you will hear a lot more about that, particularly when we get to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budgets.
Senator Shields, you may not be up to speed on this because this happened so quickly, but there was a real concern with several letters that have been received by the federal, from the federal government questioning some of this money.
Yes.
And a package was put together that we think really answers those questions much more conservative and we think falls within the guidelines. Hopefully it will be acceptable to the government. The federal government will be okay on this thing. I think Paul here did a great job putting that group together and putting together a matrix that made sense for us, and so I appreciate the work you've done, Paul, on this. It was a good bipartisan effort. I think it'll pay off with us not being penalized and keeping this money going in the right direction. So thanks.
Package 120 is the package to restore and enhance the wastewater program. As I'm sure you heard a lot in Phase 1 and 2, the wastewater permitting program has had a backlog for many, many years in the state of Oregon. The department has worked to put together a group of stakeholders that was called the Blue Ribbon Committee on Wastewater Permitting that met numerous times during the interim to come up with a comprehensive approach to wastewater permitting. This package reflects specifically the recommendations and the financial recommendations of that work group by adding general fund and increasing fees to not only restore some positions that were eliminated because of insufficient revenue, other funds revenue, but to enhance the program and also to do a number of restructurings of the way the program operates. Just want to note that we're recommending approval as modified with the PERS adjustments and also note for the record that this package would authorize DEQ to increase fees supporting the wastewater permitting program to achieve a no more than an 11% revenue increase for the 05-07 biennium. And it's expected that the department is to follow the recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Committee, including, among other requirements, that prior to increasing fees, DEQ will annualize the fees to eliminate the permit renewal fee and streamline the overall fee table.
probably should know, too, that this requires Senate Bill 45 be passed to support this package, correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And if the House passed out a bill similar to this bill, but didn't have 45, so they're expecting us to pass 45 out.
Mr. Chair, the House adopted the exact same package as you see before you under the assumption that Senate Bill 45 will pass.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
I'm
trying to behave myself. I want you to understand. But a minor question just keeps beating me over the head, and that is, do people really want to serve on a committee that's called the Blue Ribbon Committee on Wastewater Permitting?
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd pick that up. I was hoping you wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody come in with a brown bag over their head and say, mm-hmm. you know, this wastewater is permitted and this wastewater isn't. I mean, you know, it was just the idea. That sentence is almost too much for me.
It's a bit of an oxymoron, but we understand that. For a person like Blue Ribbon Trout Streams, I understand, but you know, they couldn't call the septic committee either. So, let's just try to move on.
We will.
Package 121 is the Clean and Healthy Willamette River Basin package. This package was included in the governor's budget. It adds five permanent positions to implement the Willamette TMDL. LFO is recommending the package as modified with the PERS adjustments to implement the Senate budget plan. Package 123, Drinking Water Protection, is a program, one of two packages you'll see that are programs that are operated along with the Department of Human Services. The DEQ receives monies from DHS to work on drinking water issues such as source tracking, assessment, and protection. This package continues work from last biennium with limited duration positions with one fewer FTE. LFO is recommending the package be approved as modified, again with the PERS adjustments. Package 126, the coastal beach bacteria monitoring. Again, this is one limited duration position that's funded with federal funds from DHS. From a federal grant transferred to DEQ, monies are expended as other funds because they are passed through from another agency. The grant pays to monitor beaches for bacteria that may pose a danger to human health. LFO is recommending approval with the PERS adjustments. Package 172, the laboratory rent increase. This is the water quality share of the new rent for the new laboratory building. Package 801 is again the standard adjustments to base program and essential packages to reflect the lower PERS rate and the lower Attorney General rate. Package 810, additional ways and means adjustments. This package would shift a volunteer monitoring coordinator position that was established, I believe, when the Oregon Plan funding was created, moving that from general fund to Measure 66 operations lottery funds. This position provides watershed councils and others with technical assistance on conducting water quality monitoring activities. The package includes PERS adjustment. Hence, you'll see the general fund reduction is greater than the restoration and lottery funds, and that is because of the change to the public employee retirement system rate. And that is all the packages in the water quality program.
Thank you, Paul. I want to go ahead and move right on to the land quality then.
Land quality, package 070, again, is a revenue shortfall package. Package 090 is the analyst adjustment package that reduces hazardous waste technical assistance and data management through the elimination of half of an FTE. Also makes the smart buy reductions. LFO is recommending approval of this package. Package 130, maintain underground storage tank program. This restores positions and months on other positions, as well as limitation that was reduced in Package 070 because the underground storage tank, or UST, fees are due to sunset December 2005. This package assumes that the sunset is removed through Senate Bill 44, which you will hear again later this afternoon. LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified with the PERS adjustments. Package 173, laboratory rent increase for the land quality program. This is Land Quality Program's share of increased rent from the new laboratory that the department is expecting to move into in December of 2006. Package 801 are the standard adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and Attorney General rate. Package 802, ways and means adjustments, is a technical adjustment. This package adds one-time carryover federal funds limitation of $2.4 million for McCormick and Baxter Superfund cleanup activities that had originally been planned for completion during 03-05. During the last interim, the department came to the emergency board seeking increased federal funds limitation because of the availability of a significant chunk of money to do work on cleaning up the McCormick and Baxter Superfund cleanup because of some delays with RFPs, request for proposals, and other things. The department's not going to be able to complete all the work they had planned on this biennium, so this package just transfers that limitation on a one-time basis into 05-07. The department has the funds on hand. They just need the authority to spend them in a different biennium. And package 810, additional ways and means reductions. This reduces the other fund limitation for orphan site cleanup due to a shift of one-time shift of debt service from general fund to non-limited other funds that you'll find in package 810 in the Pollution Control Bond Fund debt service program unit. These funds would have otherwise been available for use in cleanup activities. Again, this is one time because this is a not an ongoing source of money that can be used to replace general fund with debt service, and that is dealt with in a different package in the Pollution Control Program unit. And package 811, special budget committee adjustment number one. This is a general fund reduction necessary to implement the Senate budget plan. It reduces hazardous waste program, reducing technical assistance, also slow some of the work to develop rules and performance measures, and it reduces, eliminates one position and 0.8 FTE, in essence the other half of the FTE that was reduced in package 090, plus some additional reductions. And that's our general fund reduction of $200,000. And those are all the packages for the land quality program.
Thank you, Paul. Want to go on to media now?
The cross media program. The first package is package 090, analyst adjustment. The only reductions here are for the smart buy purchasing agreements. Package 151 is the Environmental Information Exchange Network. This is a project that was begun in the 103 biennium by a concerted effort with natural resource or with environmental quality departments around the nation, including the and working with the Environmental Protection Agency to simplify the way that data, federally required data, is reported to EPA. The federal government has made a number of grants available to states, including Oregon, to implement this change, most of it having to do with information technology changes. This project was brought before the Joint Legislative Information Technology Committee during the, I believe it was in 2002, and the department has received additional funding biennium since then. You'll see the general fund component of this and some limited duration positions to complete this work. LFO is recommending approval as modified with, again, PERS reductions, but also would add a technical adjustment of adding $200,000 of services, supplies, other fund limitation to accommodate some funding for DEQ to serve as the leader of development of the national standards for the network. Expenditures for participation in this leadership role will be paid for by the Environmental Council of the States, and that's why it shows as other funds instead of federal funds.
Is this department really the only leader?
I
was interested in in this package. Could you step back up, Stephanie? This strikes me as a bit of an honor. Are there going to be other states that are going to be in a leadership position in this?
For the record, Stephanie Halleck, Director of DEQ. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, it is an honor. The way that the, first of all, the Environmental Council of the States is a national association of all the state environmental directors, and I'm an officer of that council. And the staff person who is going to be participating on developing the standards is in our IT group. His name is Mitch West, and he's been working for some time with EPA in the development of the exchange network. There will be a policy guiding board and then the technical group that Mitch will be part of, and it is a co-chaired by a state person. For us, that'll be Mitch, and an EPA person. Both the technical group is, and then the policy group as well. And there will be a mix of other states who participate and other EPA employees, but the leadership, there'll basically be four leadership positions, and Mitch is in one of those. So it is really quite something. And Oregon has been a leader in the development of the exchange network for several years, as your staff noted.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really quite an honor.
Thank you.
Package 152, Homeland Security, Terrorism Response. This is continuation of a limited duration position that was approved in October of 2003 by the Emergency Board. The position would act as a chemical terrorism response coordinator who works with others, but primarily with first responders. The grant, this money is a federal grant, and it's federal funds that received through Oregon State Police and Department of Human Services, which were received by DEQ as other funds. LFO is recommending approval of the package with the PERS adjustments and also a technical adjustment to recategorize some of the expenditures and change $85,000 from capital outlay to services and supplies to better align the anticipated expenditures. And then package 801 is the standard adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and the lower Attorney General's rate. The next program unit is agency management on page 17. This program unit is funded in a kind of a unique way, I think, that was discussed in phase one and two. It's funded through an indirect rate on all funds and all programs the department operates of roughly about 19%. Because of reductions in the governor's recommended budget, the amount of money going into agency management through the indirect rate is anticipated to decrease, and hence you see a package 070 revenue reductions. Revenue shortfall, that is, again, a reduction due to cuts and reflects a lower than otherwise would have been indirect rate revenue. Package 090 is just make smart buy reductions in the agency management program. Package 801 is the standard adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate. And package 810, additional ways and means adjustment. Similar to package 070, this package makes reductions to agency management and other fund limitation based on lower indirect charges created by personal services reductions in programs other than those included in the governor's recommended budget. And that is it for the packages for agency management. Moving on to the Pollution Control Bond Fund Debt Service Program Unit. There are just a couple of packages in this. Package 191 is the debt service on the Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund and the new monies made available to the state by the federal government. LFO is recommending approval without change. And package 810 is an additional ways and means adjustment. And as discussed earlier, this implements the one-time shift of debt service from general fund to other funds for a general fund savings this biennium of $487,479. And that is it for the Pollution Control Bond Fund Debt Service Program. And then you'll see the last program unit is the non-limited program unit. Again, these expenditures are not limited. There's package 192, the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Loans. You'll see that there's a package that increases the non-limited other funds by roughly $30 million in anticipation of additional funds being available for that revolving loan program. And that is it for the LFO recommendations to the governor's recommended budget for the Department of Environmental Quality.
Thank you for walking us through all that, Paul. If I hear no objection, I would move that we accept the legislative adopted form. The work session action report. So moved.
Mr. Chair,
budget note.
We have a budget note that you'll see in a number of budgets. This one is related to it's actually streamlining, not permitting in the mine line reclamation and regulation program. That's where I copy and paste it from a different budget, but you'll see this in a whole list of the agencies, including DEQ, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, State Lands, Fish and Wildlife, Department of Land Conservation Development, and the Water Resources Department, working with the Office of Regulatory Streamlining on one or more projects to streamline the delivery of water-related permitting programs and projects. Again, you will see this as a budget note in each of these agencies. It has already been approved for adoption in the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, and I believe in the Department of Land Conservation and Development as well.
Hearing no objection, I would move that we accept the proposed budget note as stated. So moved.
Moving on to the recommended changes to the appropriation bill. You'll see in this memo the conceptual amendments to Senate Bill 5536. These actually amend the original budget bill, House Bill 5026, and then move that amended version of House Bill 5026 into Senate Bill 5536. When you actually see the amendments, it will look much cleaner than what you see on the paper here. And these reflect the appropriation levels from the adjustments to budgets that you just adopted.
Paul, to save us from walking through this line by line, with something we can not really perceive, well, can we just accept this as printed?
Mr. Chair, that's absolutely correct.
Hearing no objection, we would go ahead and accept the recommended change to appropriation bill. Consider the contents of House Bill 5026 into Senate Bill 5536 as noted on this sheet before us. So moved.
And finally, Mr. Chair, would just be a motion to move Senate Bill 5536 with amendments to the special Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
It's been moved, and we hearing no objections. So there are two of us here. We will do so. And Bill 5536 can be moved to the special Senate Committee on Budget.
Mr. Chair, that does it for the work session on Senate Bill 5536.
And we will close the work session on 5536, open a work session on 5542, and we're right on moving up to 2:00.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 5542 is the fee ratification bill for the Department of Environmental Quality. You'll find at your place a packet of information, with the top page being the fiscal impact statement for Senate Bill 5542. You'll see a copy of the -1 amendments, which are the content of the original fee ratification bill, which my guess would be House Bill 5027, that were moved into the new fee ratification bill, Senate Bill 5542. Just to briefly describe the process, I'm sure you're familiar with the fee ratification rules, that anytime a new fee is adopted or a fee is increased during the interim, those changes need to be ratified by the legislature. This is the vehicle for ratifying those changes. Primarily, the fee modifications affect the stormwater program by assigning an existing fee category to a new type of permit with a similar fee that's expected to result in no real change in revenue. But because it is a new type of permit with a new fee, there has to be a ratification of that. The fee structure for 401 certification was reconfigured during the interim. With some of the fees increasing and others decreasing, which is the total impact is expected to be revenue neutral. And finally, you'll see at the top of the fiscal impact statement a reduction of $450,000 in anticipated revenue. This reduction was included in the budget you just passed, and it reflects adoption of a new on-site permit that is anticipated to encourage a number of people utilizing a more complex, more costly permit to switch over to the new, less complex, less expensive permit and thus reduce revenue, but also hopefully reduce expenditures as well.
Now, Paul, my understanding is this is the work of a consensus group, and these fees have obviously already been in place and being collected, I assume, by now. So this is a simple ratification, and I think we should move forward with that. I did kind of hold off on when we're doing discussing 5536 was something I want to get onto the record. I'm going to take a moment to do it now because I was worried about our timing of this. In DEQ's budget, we have a question coming up which is quite different than what the House passed, not only from the point of view of the Willamette issue, but an issue concerning air quality as far as emissions from cars are concerned. And Senator Shields, you probably have been part of this conversation already too. We're not going to make any specific official recommendation in this meeting today. We are going to discuss that we have a pretty clear line between the legislature and the administrative branch of government of the state. We do not want to get in a situation where we start putting out line item budgets, nor do we want the reverse happening to us. And so a discussion will occur with the administration on their position on automobile emissions and the standards the state should or should not adopt, and the issue of whether we should go by state or should be a national program. There's a lot of pros and cons of this. Many of us feel very strongly about this. Some of us feeling, as I do, that emission standards, while being important, like to see the whole country move in the same direction, doing it by state, especially when one state is, in my mind, holding a gun to the head of the other state, that ours goes through, if yours goes through, is not appropriate. I could see a consortium of states getting together, but not the way we're going about it. Others would disagree with that, and probably will disagree with that. But it's a discussion which we're going to carry on and may come back to this committee at a later time and to the DEQ budget at a later time before this session ends. So just to get on the record, that discussion is not over with, to recognize the discussion is going on, but we're not going to take action on that today.
I'm assuming that discussion begins with, at least certainly involves the governor's office.
It certainly involves the governor's office, and in deference to his office and knowing exactly what their thoughts and positions are, more from the point of view of process than substance, there are those of us who feel that there are some lines being drawn here about what should be done by the legislature, which is what falls in the, under the auspices of the governor's office. And those lines had to be cleared up in this issue. We really don't want to get in a situation, I don't think, where we're putting out budgets with line items and prescribing certain things that really are not appropriate. And conversely, we don't want the same happening to us. So that discussion is being carried on, and we should have an answer on that within a week or two, and then we can make a final decision because there will be a reconciliation budget here, obviously. We have two different budgets coming out. With at least two significant differences in them, and that'll have to be reconciled at a later time. Okay? Having said that, Paul, we kind of jumped off there, but let's go back to 5542.
Mr. Chair, unless there are further questions or discussion, need a motion to move Senate Bill 5542 with the dash one amendments to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, is that about a minute premature?
We're at 43 seconds to go here, folks, and we're all clean for the next day, Bill. Yeah. Go ahead. We can move this one right now.
Okay. So moved.
That Senate Bill 5542 be reported out to due pass for the Senate Special Budget Committee. And with that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 5542 and open a We got now?
Mr. Chair, maybe I can just provide a little bit of clarification for members of the audience. There are sign-up sheets for folks who wish to testify on either Senate Bill 4, Senate Bill 44 or Senate Bill 45, and I will be stepping back for a new analyst carry these two bills. Tom Hughes will be dealing with both Senate Bill 44 and 45. But I'll be keeping an eagle eye on him from the chair right behind. So with that, Mr. Chair, I believe you are good to go.
Okay, we will recess just for a moment and begin this meeting, this hearing in about 1 minute. Okay. Thanks, Brian. Hearing on Senate Bill 44. This is the related to underground storage tank fees. And would you like to lead us through this first, and we'll take testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have before you Senate Bill 44, and this bill extends a sunset for the Department of Environmental Quality's underground storage tank program from December 31st, 2005 until January 2nd, 2008. The bill was referred to Senate Environment and Land Use on January 17th and was passed out of committee on February 2nd on a 3-0 vote following a hearing and work session. So if there are any questions, I believe someone from DEQ is here to answer.
Step up, please, and identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Alan Kippett. I'm the Land Quality Administrator for DEQ. I'm here to offer support for Senate Bill 44 and answer any questions you have. Would you like me to give a little background on
this? Well, why don't you go ahead and give us a little background? I read through most of this, and I'm sure Senator Shields has too. Just very quickly, so everyone's on the same page, and then we'll open it up to public testimony.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. What Senate Bill 44 does is extend the existing $85 per tank fee in the underground storage tank program through December of 2007. We've met extensively with stakeholders in this program and are working on getting delegation from EPA for this program, and this bill is important for us in order to achieve those goals. We have about 6,000 tanks and 2,000 facilities in the state that operate underground storage tanks, and I believe there are folks here from the industry to talk about this legislation as well.
Thank you. Any questions?
I think just for the public record, we always talk in insider language. Would you tell us specifically the kind of tanks we're talking about here?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, these are in the range of 6 to 20,000 gallon underground storage tanks, primarily at gas stations. We aren't talking in this particular program here about residential heating oil tanks. This is to cover our regulated underground storage tank program that's based on federal law. And so there's a variety of sizes of tanks and gas stations, from small mom and pops to large company owned.
I've spent so much time on this that I just wanted to clarify that. I've also spent a lot of time on residential tanks, and that's a whole other problem.
Thank you. Hearing no other questions, I'd like to open up the public testimony. And if I get these names wrong, please correct me. Steve O'Toole, is it?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bates, Senator Shields, my name is Steve O'Toole, and I'm the Executive Director from the Oregon Petroleum Association. Our association represents both distributors as well as gasoline dealers, actually the retail side of the industry, and we're very much in support of this bill. We've been working with the DEQ for a number of years as far as putting together programs to help as far as giving them what's called program authority from the EPA. But also one of the things, for example, that this bill has been involved in is putting together what we call an operator training program. And what we've been doing is working together with them as far as providing this operator training to designated representatives that are in charge of these various tanks. It's been a very successful program over the last couple of years. We want to be able to continue that. Thank you
for your testimony. I think most people agree it's been a successful program, and we'd much rather have our DEQ doing it than the federal government doing it for us. So I think it's something that's working. Senator Shields?
No question.
Thank you for your testimony. Thanks for coming here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
We'll go ahead and close the public hearing now and open a work session on Senate Bill 44. I think we pretty well covered everything here. Any other first comments?
No.
Senator?
That's the idea with storage tanks, cover everything.
Sorry.
I'm beginning to feel, some of Representative Morgan's pain at times. I would entertain a motion to accept Senate Bill 44 and move it to the special Senate Committee on Budget.
So moved.
So moved. Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 44 is moved to the special Senate Committee on Budget. Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 44 and open a hearing on Senate Bill 45. Can the department step up again? I'll be carrying all, I should have said earlier, I'll be carrying all these bills.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Yes. I'm really, I'm only really, the part time.
You're
I don't get to carry nothing.
You're a lucky guy. Assuming, and there will be some adjustments then because, I'll carry it to the full committee, but we'll see if we have reconciliation before we go to the floor or something. It would be nice if we did. We'll see. Senate Bill 45. Welcome. Could you identify yourself, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Holly Schroeder. I'm the Water Quality Administrator for DEQ, and I'm here to support Senate Bill 45. As you heard when you discussed our budget a few moments ago, in conjunction with Package 120 in the Water Quality Program, Senate Bill 45 is part of the product of a group that we worked with during the past interim, indeed called the Blue Ribbon Committee on Wastewater Permitting, which was a group of people of municipal permit holders, industrial permit holders, as well as representatives from conservation environmental groups who came together to take a look at our wastewater permitting program that the agency operates under federal authority and under Oregon law. The committee made a series of recommendations to DEQ. They made some recommendations about how we operate our program, including that we should operate more on a watershed approach, as well as implementing some efficiency measures and how we do our permitting. They made some recommendations in terms of accountability, requesting that we put some performance measures in place and do some certain reporting. And then they made some recommendations relating to funding in terms of the level of total staffing needed for the program, which would be phased in. You saw that in part of Package 120, as well as some of the structure and ability to do some inflationary adjustments to fees. So between Package 120 and the budget bill and Senate Bill 45, we institutionalize all of those changes, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Now, I had one question just real quickly, if you don't mind. We had a significant number of increases of permitted facilities from 1994 to 2004. Was that because you're picking up more facilities that previously weren't requiring a permit?
Senator Bates, yes, I'd have to look at the exact numbers, but chances are that is a combination of factors. The federal government implemented in the early 90s the stormwater regulations that require us to write permits for construction sites. The first phase of that was for construction sites that disturbed over 5 acres of land, and then the second phase of that was for construction sites of moving over an acre of land. In addition, there are some regulations for municipalities and how they manage their stormwater, as well as the EPA also issued requirements for concentrated animal feeding operations in the, I guess, right around 2000s-ish, early 2000, and we've been implementing those permits in Oregon as well. We do the confined animal feeding program in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture.
Back to such. Senators, I think this is obviously a consensus bill. appreciate the hard work that must have gone into this. This looks so simple when we see it in front of us, but I have a hunch it was pretty tough getting there at times, probably. I appreciate the work everyone's done on.
Thank you.
We're going to open it up to public testimony. Let's go, by the way, you signed in, if we could, John Ledger, AOI.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
I'm John Ledger, Vice President, Associated Oregon Industries, and good to see, I guess it's Mr. Chair and other member of the committee. Yes,
I'll be known as other member.
A massive committee sits in front of you watching every move you make, so just be careful.
Senator other member has a nice ring.
This bill raises fees on our industries, on our members during a time of economic hardship, and we support the bill. And I'll tell you why. And you'll hear, I think, variations on this afternoon. The immediate reason is that the agency, and this is typical of the agency, did a very good job of getting a bunch of people together and having them sit down and work through some very difficult pieces. We had our representative on there, Mr. Galen May, from the aluminum facilities, and this took a lot of people's time who could have been doing other things. The companies donated their time. The agency had other things to work on. So it was just thousands of people's time in this. And I think the agency did a very, very good job, very good faith effort. I never heard a complaint that the outcome was predetermined. Their staff got a lot of information. I think that's the reason something like this could happen. But, you know, when you look back historically, I think the last time that there was great resistance to a fee increase was in 97. And this is really unusual because in most states, there is a scorched earth relationship between industry and the regulators. I mean, it's just awful. It's brutal. And as far as I know, Oregon by far has the most productive working relationship between industry and the DEQ. And many of you have heard me compliment them to you in public and private. I think there's a reason for this, and I think it's an important thing to keep. One is that the agency bases, we believe, its decisions on science. They get the groups together to work through the problems. They take time. I sat on a policy advisory committee for water toxics. It took us about 4 years, but we got the water toxics rules adopted just last year. It took about 4 years to do a brand new air quality toxics program. We got those adopted about a year ago. In many states, it's in fact illegal to have any regulatory program more strict than the minimum required by the federal government. Some of our neighboring states have that, who are our competitors. And we have not had that here in a way. We've had the opposite. We actually support new programs. They're well done. One of the reasons is the agency has very good management. They take their time. They work cooperatively with the sources. We don't feel like we're getting something shoved down our throats. You know, as long as it's a good product, we're cooperative with that. We have pollution control tax credits. We can be more strict than the federal government, some of the other states around us, because we get a tax credit to keep us a little bit competitive. That takes the edge off. But I think this agency is really to be congratulated. Oregon is a very nice place to do the job I have, I can tell you, and that's one of the reasons I came here. So I think you're going to hear nothing but good things about the agency. They've done a really good job, and they're a pleasure to work with. So we're happy to cough up some more bucks.
Thank you for your testimony. Did they pay you for the testimony?
Mr. Chair, I am interested in his metaphor that in most states, industry and the agency that's, you know, protecting the environment use a scorched earth approach. That actually leads to a serious question, and that is, this more cooperative approach honestly produces a better environmental result than states where they're kind of going at one another with the scorched earth approach?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I believe it does by far. There are programs we have here, for instance, the air toxics program, that is you wouldn't have in a lot of other states. You just wouldn't have it because it would be hard to get through. It would be a political battle. The product they come up with is very good. there's a lot. That's an interesting question because there's a lot of pressure not to have a cooperative working relationship. A lot from both sides. Because some people on one side of the spectrum think industry is being too easy on the agency, you know, they kind of want us to beat up on the agency, and when we're not, causes a problem. And then there are people on the other side that see the agency and the industry working together, and they figure that's not the way it's supposed to work either. It's supposed to be adversarial. If they're talking, they must be giving away something.
Yeah.
So, and you may recall about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we ran a bill. It was an AOI Defenders of Wildlife bill, joint bill. And that was, it finally went through unanimously. That was a hard bill to get through. There's just a lot of pressure to do what every other state does, which is the comfortable thing, which is to have a hot adversarial situation. That's kind of the default. It's the way most places work. I can feel it kind of coming here a little bit sometimes. We hope not.
I would suggest there are other parts of this building that could learn the same lesson. We might be out here a little earlier if we did that. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Matt Blevins?
Chair Bates, members of the committee, for the record, Matt Blevins, Legislative Affairs Director with the Oregon Environmental Council. Just wanted to come up in support of this bill. We were participants in the Blue Ribbon Committee. We did think this was a good collaborative effort. We didn't clearly come out with everything that we had hoped to, but I don't think anybody did, and that's sort of the way you do with a collaborative effort. But we do think this gets us headed in the right direction. The backlog of permits that we've seen in the state has been a real concern that we've been highlighting for a number of sessions, and we think this makes a very good step towards dealing with that and getting the water quality program on the right track. So we strongly encourage the committee to move this forward and make sure we get this job done.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions? Catherine Van Natta.
Chair Bates, Senator Shields, thank you for the opportunity to discuss Senate Bill 45 with you today. For the record, my name is Catherine Panetta, Governmental Affairs Manager of the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association. Part of my role over the last 10 years with the association has been to sit on DEQ advisory committees, which I've done quite a bit of, including the one Mr. Ledger just mentioned, a four-year committee on water quality standards dealing with toxics and temperature and other issues. I was a member of the Blue Ribbon Committee, sat through it, and it was, I must say, I am a proud member of that committee. I signed my name to the consensus agreement that we would come supportive, and that I was delighted to do it. And, you know, if you just leave off the last part, Senator Shields, if you say the Blue Ribbon Committee, it sounds better.
Sounds better, yes.
So,
definitely.
But on a serious note, on the second page of my testimony, the first page is our support of the DEQ budget and fee ratification bill. The second page, point number three, is something that no one else has discussed today, which I think that is vitally important about Senate Bill 45, in that it ramps up the funding for the wastewater permitting program for the department. And we believe that an appropriately funded program allows the management and employees to focus on their work while implementing long-range plans and processes for improving Oregon's water quality, including comprehensive policy development. And we believe that this comprehensive policy development is very important in the water permitting area to allow everybody to participate in the process and to allow things to be transparent as policy is being developed, and that the policy work that goes on in the water permitting program is very important to a lot of stakeholders. And I would ask that you take a serious look and talk to the department about what they plan to do with Senate Bill 45, why it's important to all the stakeholders, and what it will do for water quality in Oregon, and why I think after that you'll be able to see why we think it's the answer for working on water quality issues right now, dealing with industrial permitting or any other type of permitting right now in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. A question. How much time do you think you spent on that committee? the last 4 years?
Well, no, this one wasn't a four-year one. This was an 18-month one, and the committees range from meetings, range from half-day meetings to almost full-day meetings. We met at the end monthly. I would say with all the prep work, if you are a serious participant and you do, well, I don't have to tell you guys about prepping for committee meetings. I would have to say that I spent 100 hours.
Thank you for your time and dedication. It's volunteers and committees like this to make these things work. It really does. So we don't get to end up in the courts, we end up in committees resolving issues. Thank you.
Well, the participatory arrangement that you see in Oregon, as Mr. Ledger said, is very different than other states. I'm a regional trade association representative, and what we enjoy in Oregon is different from other states, and we would like to maintain what we have in Oregon, to work together to actually see environmental improvement on the ground. And that's a key concept we like to think about as we work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Very much.
Thanks for your time, and thanks for your testimony today. And that thanks us for everybody that served on that committee. We appreciate it. We really do. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you all. Trust me, if we try to do it in the legislature, we do it on the fly, it's not good. And I don't want the courts, so great job. Really appreciate your efforts. The next person signed up is John Chandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be here all week.
And you'll be alone.
John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, also in support of Senate Bill 45 and of the fine work that DEQ did. The bill's already been talked about, the process. I wasn't able to come to the earlier hearing on DEQ's budget. In general, I was otherwise occupied. I have nothing but the highest praise for Stephanie Halleck, for Holly Schroeder, for Lori Onan, and the people that pulled this program together. We would not have been having this conversation. We would not have had the work group on stormwater runoff. We would not have Senate Bill 45 except for those people's leadership, particularly Ms. Halleck's. Those of you who have been around this process for a few years, the battles used to occur between industry and the regulatory agencies. They're not now. And that's not a function of industry caving or of the agency caving. It's a function of good management, good leadership, understanding that the way to get through problems is not to litigate or legislate necessarily, it's to talk. And we've done that. I was on the Blue Ribbon Committee as well. I don't know how many, I didn't spend anywhere near as many hours as Ms. Vannata did, because I wasn't sure what this prepping she kept talking about was. But
we understand that.
Yeah. But it sounded fun. I'm going to try it one of these times. It took a long time, and we had all of us had to sheathe our weapons at the door and discuss and talk. One of the things, as my industry is not necessarily one of the groups that benefits from watershed-type permitting or is harmed by it, we're what we call during our work groups the asteroids. When a development project comes along that requires a permit, whether it's in this watershed or that watershed is immaterial, you have a time frame, you have a project, you need to go. And one of the things I found the most, frankly, astonishing about this was rather than lapsing into Buron, like agencies can do, and say, sorry, we're doing the McKinsey this month, or we'll get to the Clackamas next month, they were able to accommodate in their conversation, not necessarily in the bill in front of you, but in the budget and in the staff work and in the processes they've said have gotten underway, a way to accommodate those random events that my clients bring to the table, which is development projects that don't necessarily fit within a stream network, is a good piece of work. And I am delighted to have been part of it. And I sound like I'm sucking up, but I'm not. Stephanie's done a hell of a job. And if I wanted to ask you, please, the two of you, to commend that to the rest of your caucus and to the Senate. Because if we had more agency administrators, frankly, like this, we would have fewer gun battles in front of you.
Thank you.
I'll hush.
Thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you very much. We're letting you off easy today because we like you, John.
Well, we've got 3120, which is not 1037. It's a way different bill downstairs in Garage Committee. So
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, boy. Me too.
All right.
Willie Tiffany.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and just about everything's been said on this bill. We, too, all cities in Oregon, do support Senate Bill 45. participated in the Blue Ribbon Committee, and we wholly concur with Mr. Chandler's praise of Stephanie Halleck. Whether that's something up or not, I don't know. It doesn't matter. She is an excellent manager and has run an excellent program.
Wait a minute. Just what does she have on all these
guys? I don't know. I'm not going to ask. I don't want to go there. I don't know what's going on here.
So in the spirit of brevity, we are very, very supportive and did participate in the process and hope to see Senate Bill 45 enacted. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wanted to testify to this bill other than Stephanie Halleck? I don't think she can take much more. There's supposed to be this glass ceiling in executive positions that I'm looking at one of our very best agencies. And when I walked into natural resources, I didn't know these agencies. I know DHS, I know education. And what I kept hearing is difficulties with various agencies for various reasons, but I kept hearing good things about DEQ, and I couldn't quite figure it out. I think I got it figured out today. We finally put the women in charge, and the problems went away. So there's probably a message here that I should be replaced immediately by a female, and I'll work on that as quickly as I can. Having said all that, hearing no further testimony, I'm going to close the hearing on Senate Bill 45. I'm open up a work session on Senate Bill 45. I don't think there's any questions about this.
You want me to do the whole sentence, or are you just going to let me say so move?
Just say so move, please.
So move.
There's been motion, and we will move Senate Bill 45 to the Special Subcommittee Senate on Budget. Therefore, move, and the work session on Senate Bill 45 is closed. Thank you all for your help and work today. Thank you very much.